Check it out. You're smoking with Joe Thunder and his podcast brought to you by the Content Creation Studio. Hey, what's going on, y'all? My name is Joe Thunder, a.k.a. Joe Theasy, a.k.a. Joe, Big Joe, Big Joe Thunder. And some of y'all might know me by a couple other names, you know what I'm saying? But I want to welcome y'all to the first podcast. It's called the Smoking with Joe Thunder podcast. Just want to give you a little rundown of what's going to be going on and what we're going to be covering on this podcast, you know what I'm saying? The main focus of this podcast is going to be covering local and national hip-hop and the weed culture, because you know how we get down in Colorado, we be smoking that good shit, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to give you some shit about this, about that, you know what I'm saying? We're going to have graffiti artists, we're going to have DJs, MCs, producers, B-boys, D-boys, herb experts, you name it. Everything and anything got to do with hip-hop, you know what I mean? If it's going down, whether it's in the Mile High or in New York or L.A., you're getting it from Joe Thunder, because we're smoking. Real quick, just want to give a shout out to our first sponsor, my homie Elvis over there at Be Good Dispensaries in Inglewood. Holler at him, check him out. He got that good shit, that new designer shit. So don't stop till you drop. All right. Well, I'm gonna give you a little history about me here, real quick, man. Let me see. Goes way, way, way back. So basically, I was born in like Dunham, the Dunham neighborhood, which is the northeast section of Denver. So real quick, just to break it down for you, like I lived on, let me see, the south side of I-70. My hood was like I-70 to Vasquez or Colorado Boulevard, York to 40th. If you lived on the north side of I-70, you're considered Swansea all the way to Commerce City. Now, if you lived past the tracks, that was considered Elaria or Johnson's. And then once you pass the Coliseum, that's considered Glowville. Everyone always be trying to say, you from, you know, Glowville, you from here, like, now I'm from Dunham, then, like, across the bridge to Swansea, I mean, then the whole east side goes up all through there, so just had to break that down for y'all real quick, you know what I'm saying? Excuse me, we smoking in here, you know what I mean? Like I said, so let me real quick, let me see. So the first time I want to tell y'all a little story about the first time I was introduced to hip-hop. I was a little shorty, man, like, real. I can't even remember. I want to say like maybe fourth, fifth grade. So basically like my mom and dad work, you know, just like everyone else, mom works. So during the summer, they would drop us off in the east side at the Curtis Park Community Center. You know what I'm saying? And we would go there every day for camp. They would take us to like Lakeside and take us swimming to the zoo, all that shit. You know what I'm saying? So we did that for like 3-4 years. And that's really when I got introduced to hip hop. So check it out. So it was in the east side. Y'all know where Curtis Park is. All the people, all the kids, like the older teenager kids in high school and shit, were the ones that were like our counselors and shit. So they were all from the projects, from the hood. You mean the rap was coming around, you know what I'm saying? They were bumping shit for us every day, you know what I mean? So what we would do is we would go there every day. Like I said, on the weekends, we'd go to the flea market, the Mile High Flea Market. We'd buy blank tapes, take them to camp on Monday, give them to the homies, the guidance counselors. They'd fucking go home, make some tapes for us, bring us back, and we be bumping, dog. You know what I'm saying? Just getting it. So these are the ones that, like I said, really kind of introduced me to hip-hop. There are really two people, like, in particular over there at Curtis Park. I remember this guy named Terry, man. Like he was the man. He was, like, the fly-ass motherfucker that played basketball, that rapped, fucking DJed, you know what I mean? He was actually, like, one of the first, he was the first person I ever seen rock a pair of Jordan 1 originals. And what's crazy about this shit is he wore them, like, he worked there, bought them, and he wore them, say, on Monday. On Tuesday, when he showed up with the Jordans, he put a T on the back of each Jordan. Everyone was talking shit, clowning, like, damn, homie, you done ruined your Jordans. What's up, what's up? This fool was like, check this out, homie. It ain't the shoes that make the player. It's the player that makes the shoes. And we was like, God damn. I think he grabbed the basketball and dunked a couple times. We was just like, wow, that motherfucker's fly. So shout out to the homie. I hope he's doing good. I ain't seen him since I was a little tot. The other cat I remember is a cat named Glenn. And he was from the hood, too, like a couple blocks away from the center. And he would just show us how to rap. And he was always making his tapes, man, and always just bumping music loud as fuck, you know what I'm saying, in the gym and shit. And, man, it's just like, you know, like I said, that's like my first time that I was really introduced to hip hop. I remember them taking us down to the fucking 16th Street Mall. And I don't remember the name, but it was next to Walgreens. Next to Walgreens was a place that sold Kangos and hats. And next to there was the record shop. And I remember buying records, the Boogie Boys and Houdini, some other shit from there. And it was just like some wild ass shit, man. That's how I got introduced. So check it out. After that, after the Curtis Park, let me see, I attended Whiteman, went to Merrill, graduated from Thomas Jefferson. You know what I mean? A couple key moments of those times, all that, middle school, grade school, high school. I remember a couple things. I remember watching Beat Street. I remember going to the Lakeside Mall, buying my first pair of Pumas. Or not me buying them, but my mom buying me some Pumas. The black with the blue suede, you know what I'm saying? I remember doing little DJ things at Merrill for like the school, like our little school parties. I remember having to walk to Colorado Boulevard and catch the 40 with all kinds of records and shit. My mom took me to buy records. My mom told me one thing. She said, you do good in school, you know, we'll hook you up, we'll give you some money. So like I had the little double dipper. My birthday and my first report card were on the same day. So as long as I got good grades, I'd get $100 for that, and then I get $100 for my birthday. And my mom would straight up, as soon as I got home, she would take me straight to Spins on Colfax, and I'd blow all my money on music. And music and G.I. Joes, you know what I'm saying? But every record back in the day, you know what I'm saying? What else? I remember seeing N.W.A. at McNichols Arena. That's really dating my ass right there. You know what I'm saying? But I remember that shit going down. A little quick shout out to Quo's brother. He told me he was at that concert too. It was N.W.A., Eazy-E, Slick Rick, De La Soul, LL Cool J, and the D.O.C. That was some crazy ass shit. I went through like 4 metal detectors to get to that motherfucking concert. God damn. I was like in 6th grade, 7th grade. 3-4 metal detectors, bro. I'm telling you. But after that, after all that shit was done, let me see. Oh, one more thing too. I also remember this shit. I remember in high school trading tapes with the homie DJ Fire. And then my homie Stan, the guitar man. And the homie Patrick Greer, we'd always trade tapes and shit and record those shits. And then you'd have, you know, like 10 tapes instead of 2 tapes. You know what I mean? But shit. Oh, excuse me. Whoa. But after high school, you know, I ended up going to UNM. Didn't really do shit. Kicked it a lot. Learned to smoke a lot of weed. Racked up a lot of debt. That's what college does. You know what I'm saying? We're still out here making it and getting it. So let me see. So when I started going to college, that's when I met my girl, Mary Jane. Oh, man. She was amazing. I had this white boy named Kyle Henley. He used to introduce me to her a lot. You know, I used to sneak around to the back of the house and be like, let's smoke. So I was like, all right. You know, lived in a big old house with a lot of people. Not everyone was cool with the smoking. So we had like this big ass looking log in the parking lot across the street from the frat house. We'd all go smoke out there. All the people that did smoking and were haters and shit, call it Berkeley and shit, be trying to talk shit. But we used to be out there smoking, dog, smoking that Reggie, that fucking Albuquerque's finest. You know what I mean? We were talking about this shit the other day. You remember when the Weed Man, the Chronic Man, not like the one that had the fucking Reggie, but the Dro Man, that motherfucker would take like 3 days, 4 days. Could be your best friend and still taking 3 days. Like, I'm eating lunch, homie. All right, can you call me when you're done? Yeah, you still don't hear him for like 3-4 days. You know what I mean? Like, wasn't that some bullshit? You know what I mean? I mean, you could get chronic, but it was like, fuck, pain in the ass. It could even be whack. And he'd still be like, you know what I mean? So we smoked a gang of Reggie down there in Albuquerque, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, left and right. I remember, I got one story. It included me, the homies from Santa Fe, say Miguel, this cat Nilo, this cat Fishman, and I want to say the homie B-Dub. There's about at least 7 of us. Well, the homies bought a QP. And we bought a QP. And I was like, hey, I got a great idea. And they're like, what? I was like, let's go to Walgreens and buy 2 boxes of 50 blunts each. And they was like, all right. So we went to fucking Walgreens. And they bought a box of blunts with 50 Philly blunt wraps. And we bought a box with Philly blunt wraps. Went back to the crib. I think we smoked for about 3 or 4 days straight. We smoked that 0.5 pound about like 4 days. We was pretty high. Pretty high. I'm sure we went to Waffle House a couple times during that smoke session, because we used to go to Waffle House for all the all-you-can-eat $5.99. You know what I'm saying? We smoking ounces and ounces of weed, going up there 10 deep and eating like all the food. You know what I'm saying? So fucking, that's how we used to get down in New Mexico with the weed. But after, you know, I didn't graduate. I'm kind of disappointed in myself for not graduating. But hey, shit happens. I'm still paying for it. Hey, you know what I'm saying? But after that, after I left Albuquerque, you know, I bounced around, came here back to Denver, went to like Vegas for a couple years, chilled there and work, came back, went back to Albuquerque. But I ended up finally touching back down here in Denver, right? Kind of like before the All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game when it was here. I think it was here in 2005. And I was living right there on, let's see, 13th and Emerson. And I was walking to 7-Eleven one day, and I bump into my homie DJ Fire. And this fool hands me two mixtapes. And he's like, hey, check them out, homie. This is like some All-Star Edition mixtapes. I'm doing my little mixtape thing. He's like, check them out. And it ended up, you know, he ended up living like three blocks away from me. Like, and I was like, all right, well, that's cool. You know, I'll check them out, and we'll hook up, smoke some weed, you know, whatnot. So, you know, I went home, rolled up a couple blunts, put the CD in the CD player, start playing it. Not bad. It's just pretty tight. Got some slammers, like some, you know, I don't remember who, like Nori, maybe some. I remember he had one song, like some Busta Rhymes and ODB shit, the money, you know what I mean? Then some local tracks start coming on. And I was like, all right, this is cool. You know, he had one, he had two. Yeah, three, four, maybe like five local tracks on this mixtape as well. And they were pretty banging. They weren't too bad. So, you know, I hit up the homie Fire, like, hey, what's up, G? You want to smoke some weed? He's like, yeah, man, come on through. So, like I said, he lived like two blocks away. It was nothing. Rolled over there and, like, you know, smoked a couple of blunts, started chopping it up about, you know, his mixtape thing. He was like, he started telling me, like, yeah, these are some of my homies, bro. You know, I'd be kind of fucking with some fools here and there. He's like, tell me about the Ogden House. It was like about a, like a, like I said, that was literally like a block away from my crib, two blocks from him, right across from the Ogden, across from 7-Eleven. Told me about this full Tim book, how he had the studio and gang of fools hung out there and, you know, were getting their shit on. And I was like, all right, that's cool, you know. So, like I said, he takes me to the Ogden House. I meet Tim Buck. I meet other people. I meet people like Mr. Verbal, Jay Cook, this cat Sid Fly, the homie Contact, G7, couple fools here and there, you know what I'm saying? Bubba Fly, the Fly, you know what I mean? So I start kicking it with these fools because, like I said, number one, I like to smoke weed. Number two, I love music. Number three, I'm about that Colorado Denver shit. And I'm a motherfucking block away, you know what I mean? So I'm like, shit, all right, cool. They had the studio in the dungeon. Like I said, I kick it with them a couple of times. They're recording music, making beats, you know what I mean? Some fools come through here and there. You know, it's just like this fool Tim Buck is kind of like kind of showing me stuff here and there, and I'm paying attention, you know what I mean? So, like I said, it's basically like a hip-hop co-op, because there are a lot of people going through there. Like, I remember seeing that place like a million times, but it was like a big old mansion, and it always had a for rent sign, but I was like, how the fuck am I going to afford a big old mansion? I didn't know it was like rooms, you know what I mean? Like 20 rooms with people living in there in the studio in the basement. So like I said, I'm kicking it at the Ogden House, learning, meeting new people here and there. I see Fire like, you know, almost every day we're kicking it. And then he's like, do you want to join me like on like this kind of mixtape and do some shit? Because he knew I knew music, had a good ear for music and just in general. I was like, yeah, man, we can do some shit like that. So my thinking is like, I already got to be on his level. So like, I'm like, if this fool got like exclusive tracks. And what I mean by exclusive is like he had tracks on the mixtape he gave me that Tim Buck had recorded in the studio. So they were like his exclusive shit. Like it wasn't like I got a track from you, homie, and I'm going to put this on my mixtape. It's like, let's go to the studio and make a track, and that's going on my shit. So he had like four or five of those. So I was like, if this fool's already doing that, I got to do the same shit because I can't come with anything less. So, you know, I talked to Tim Buck and I got some shit together. I actually hit up a couple people. I think a couple people recorded shit just for me and sent it to me. I know Contact did and Black Pegasus and a couple motherfuckers like that. And we kind of put out a little mixtape. And that shit banged, you know what I mean? It banged, it had some tight local shit. It banged, and that kind of like started my fire right there. I was like, man, I was like, this is tight. Like, I was basically doing DJ Drama, DJ Khaled Denver style like 10, 15 years ago before fools even knew what the fuck was going on. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I mean? Like, I started that with my homie Sam. Like, I met Mr. Verbal. If y'all know Mr. Verbal, be selling CDs everywhere. You sell CDs everywhere on the streets all day, every day. Fat motherfucker, you know what I mean? Shout out. He took me to Selector Sam, and I hooked up with Sam, and I kind of told him what I wanted to do, which was like, instead of making like a mixtape with national tracks and exclusive tracks, I want to make a mixtape with all exclusive tracks. I want to record a whole, like basically re-recording albums. So, you know, it took a little convincing. Finally got him on board. I had this kind of mixtape. We weren't really mixing them, you know what I mean? We were putting them together on the computer. So, like, if we had the technology or we were able to do it, it'd be different. But we were just trying to start off, just trying to get our shit cracking, you know what I'm saying? So, like, one of the first tracks, exclusive tracks that I got was from my homie Contact. And this motherfucker banged, like, some. It was like, it wasn't a freestyle, but, like, it was a verse that he wrote that was more than 16 bars, was just the most ridiculous punchlines you could fucking think of. Like, just have you like, god damn, like, I listened to it a million times. And it's the first song on that down Denver to the South shit, some shit like that back in the day. But he was the one, he just like really like fucking, like I said, he had sick punchlines, and the way he just kind of wrote the beat was just like he could rap to anything. So I told Sam, like, I want to do, you know, the first mixtape with this cat, Contact. And he was down, you know what I mean? He was the engineer, you know, he was the white boy engineer, sitting there making shit happen. So I hit up the homie Contact, he's totally down, you know what I mean? We're going to fucking do a whole mixtape, record a whole mixtape. So we recorded a whole mixtape. Had like probably 20, 30 features on them. He was on every track, called The Contact High. You know what I mean? Had some doing shit people ain't even doing at all. I didn't even think of, like, you know what I mean? Like, exclusive. So keeping it short, we dropped about 10 of those. Not with Contact, but with various MCs from Denver. We did, like I said, The Contact High. We did Dow and Dio from Ground Zero Movement. I did the Blunt Sessions with Dent. We did Dez 1 and 2. Did fucking, trying to think. Come on, high. Well, you know, the list goes on. You can YouTube that shit or fucking Westword it. I posted some shit today. You know what I'm saying? We made like 10 albums. You know what I mean? Keeping it short. But, you know what I mean? After that, took a little hiatus. Kind of not really. You know, came back on the scene, learned a new way. So we're going to cover that next time. It'll be like part 2. Just want to give you a little intro because we got all kinds of shit coming for you. Like I said, we got interviews, current events. We're going to have some freestyles. You know what I mean? We're going to have fucking who can slam a 40 in one drink, who can smoke a blunt in two. You know what I mean? All that shit, bro. It's going to be some interesting ass shit. So if I were you, I'd fucking listen because you're going to be like, damn. All right, y'all. I'm out. Peace.